Saturday, March 20th, noon to 5 p.m. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Come join me March 20th for the Afternoon Delight series. DJ Andy Williams, live stream, good combo, and some information that you probably don't.
Time to play. CKUT is having a funding drive. CKUT is your community radio supporting events, culture, and shows, and playing the music you wouldn't even know you liked unless you heard it here. Give us a call, 514-907-9424, and give what you can.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Welcome to my inner thoughts, locked in, thoughts in a golden vault, lakeside, thinking while I'm skipping Vox, and these eyes tell a story of a paradox. I came across a couple complications, the color of the rainbow seems a little faded. We're scared of the truth, cause it's always naked, we eyes deep, but I just couldn't face it. Questions, are we living a lie? Reflections of ourselves, like are we living or die? Questions, like how you feeling inside? It's an everyday struggle, I'm just trying to survive. Questions, like are we happy or not? My answer tends to change when I'm drinking a lot. Questions, like how you feeling your heart? Like can't I really know, let me give it a thought. It's time to roll the herb, think then I jot. I be thinking of her like whether or not. And we killing the earth, are we making it hot? We just killing each other on the screens of our phones. Time for attention, can't leave it alone. She's always online and hates being alone. And every time we go out, it's like it's all for the show. And then they tell you the man, cause you got bottles and blow. And a cup of empty coats that come with the host. Then it's Uber to the after, oh you know how it goes. But the sun was wide awake when you finally made it home. Just to realize that you was always alone. Questions. Thoughts. Ay, 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 ay. Okay, now welcome to my inner thoughts. Ay, 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 ay. Okay, now welcome to my inner thoughts. Ay, 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 ay. Okay, now welcome to my inner thoughts. Late in new game, but same players, same pen, with new paper, but bringing a new flavor. You can say I got it, cause homie, I never lost it. And yes, I keep it flowing like the water from your faucet. Of course, I'm fucking awesome, what the fuck is all this nonsense? Are we truly making progress in becoming better artists? Fuck it anyways, I didn't die regardless. I'm just another bee buzzing in the garden. Hit him when that bass drops. You know that I got that. I just got my eyes on you. Tell me how you feel inside. Cause homies were the hardest. Homie, don't get me started. I delete the part of the notion of using logic to focus on the project to reach a higher conscience. Oh, stop it with that nonsense. They don't really fuck with me. Yeah, yeah. I had to get it on my own. They tryna put me in a box. Yeah. Yeah. But they can never have my thoughts. They don't wanna see me win. Yeah, yeah. But homie, I will never lose. I'm just trying to be the man. Yeah, yeah. But they will never understand. shit is getting complicated. With all these stars and these constellations, they stuck in they shit like they constipated. But you gotta make moves if you wanna make it. So I built a spaceship so your haters couldn't say shit. Let's face it, most of you rap is basic, tasteless, wasteless, me and you not related. Why? Cause these pockets are full of aces. Hit him when that bass drops. Ooh. But you know that I got that vibe. I just got my eyes on you. Tell me how you feel inside. The levels to reach are higher. A Johnny Cash desire. I went to the ring of fire. And you saw the will acquire. And as you walk the line. But we be running out of time like. They don't really fuck with me. Yeah, yeah. I had to get it on my own. They trying to put me in a box. Yeah, yeah. But they can never have my thoughts. They don't want to see me win. Yeah, yeah. But homie, I will never lose. I'm just trying to be the man. Yeah, yeah. But they will never understand.
Yes, 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 we're on the air. It is another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And we have a special guest with us in the building tonight. He goes by the name LTs. He is a singer-songwriter, a Montrealer of Jamaican, Algerian, and Chinese origin. Mix up and blender, as we say in Jamaica. He's a jazz hip hop singer in the current. He's young, he's vibrant, his music is amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the air and talking with us. How you doing?
Thanks. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Since you know we're living in a COVID world, we like to check in with our guests and see like how has life been treating you? What's been going on? What's proper?
So it's been good, actually. You know, I like to think myself of a positive person, so I kind of try to make the best out of any situation. So I mean, I just had my birthday a couple days ago on the 16th, but I spent it inside. You know, we just ordered food and had some wine. It was cool, but you know, I would have liked to do something. You know, there's that side of things, but at the same time, I've been working a lot on myself. You know, I'm not really working anymore, you know, a part-time job. So I'm just waking up and just, I have the full day to myself and to work on myself, to better myself, music especially, but other little things too that maybe I didn't have time to do before, you know, work out a little more, read a little more. You know, do some more research and you know, walk around and just kind of you know, work on myself a bit more, and you know, working on myself kind of translate into working into becoming a better artist. You know,
right.
So on that side of things, I've been you know, it hasn't been that bad for me, honestly. I kind of enjoy it. You know,
yeah.
Put me back in place and give me a.
What have you been reading?
I've been reading some Arthur Rimbaud. It's he's like this French poet from I'm gonna say like the early 1900s.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Does that sort of inspire your music or inspire your lyrics?
Yeah, that is also currently reading a biography on Patti Smith and Robert Mapplethorpe, which were. You know, so yeah, definitely inspires me. I find a lot of words in there, you know, because I tell myself, I'm like, listen, like I write music, right? So what's the best way? Even movies, I like to watch movies. During the lockdown, before the second lockdown, you know, kind of when we had a bit of liberty. Man, I was going to the cinema all the time because they were playing old movies because not a lot of new movies are on and stuff. So, you know, I kind of go there, like peep the dialogue and try to find, you know, emotions and phrases and kind of note that stuff down. Same thing when I read or if I watch something interesting, I'm always on the look to like, you know, take inspiration from these things and kind of apply it to my writing or apply it to my music. So, you know, on that aspect of things, the lockdown's been really helping me out with kind of doing all of that, you know.
So are you one of those artists that likes to be on their own for the most part?
For the writing, yes. Okay. I love to be on my own for the writing. I like to have like the music blasting and just kind of writing.
Yeah, just get lost in the music and allow the inspiration to come to you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a mover. I move a lot. So sometimes I'm just pacing up and down, you know. A lot of time, like in the summer, even right now, like I go to the park and I write, you know. Just I like to be outside and you know, sometimes I'll go to Westmount Park, like right next to Little Water or La Fontaine. You know, just kind of post up on a bench, you know, have my little vices there and just kind of write, you know, since I'm not really doing much in the day, you know, I'm going to get some sunlight and that's kind of my work, you know, like I'll spend maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe hours just kind of, you know, writing and thinking and making, writing the lyrics and stuff like that. Yeah.
How long would you... How many tracks do you say that you've composed since the beginning of COVID?
I've written 3, but I've been working with a lot of producers recently.
Right.
Like and musicians, kind of like pulling up to the studio, kicking it, you know, and just kind of making a lot of music. So, you know, kind of come back to the first question. I really do love jam sessions and chilling with producers and stuff like that when it comes to the music creation of the whole, you know, project or song or whatever, you know, like whatever musical, you know, and that process normally comes first, right? So I'll go, you know, we'll just chill and we'll come up with some stuff. And maybe by the end of that session or the second session, they'll send me a beat kind of structured in a way, and then I kind of found my own time to write on it. But definitely during the music creation part, you know, I find it also important, you know, to have energy bouncing off everyone and ideas and stuff like that. Quite a few. I can't lie, I've been really I've written a couple, and I have more to write, so
When did you fall in love with music? When did you discover that was your passion?
So I went to FACE. So I was doing music early in the elementary down there.
It's just down the street from CKUT.
Yeah. Well, I grew up listening to CKUT on Sundays because I always played sports. So I would we'd have a game somewhere on Sunday, and like I was playing soccer since I was young. And there was the reggae show on Sunday. So that's what I remember, you know?
With Pat Dillon?
Being a kid. I think so. I don't know. I just know there's a reggae show on Sunday on CKUT that was there when I was young. And I think it's still there, though.
Boom Boom Time.
I'm pretty.
Boom Boom Time.
Yeah, Boom Boom Time. Is that it? I wouldn't know if it's Sunday in the afternoon. Like
that's the one.
Like 4 to 6, maybe.
Yes, that's exactly it. Shout outs to Pat Dillon Moore. You got a young fan that's been listening to your stuff for a while now.
Yeah, because you know, like at the time, you know, in early 2000s, we didn't have like auxiliary cords yet. In that time, you know, you either play your CD or you would listen to the radio, you know. And so I kind of fell in love with music young because both my parents are like, you know, just kind of artistic in their own ways.
Do they write music or are they?
I have one of my parents that works in music, and my other my other parent is just kind of, she loves arts and literature and all that stuff, but she doesn't my mom, she doesn't do it really. So but at a young age, you know, they showed me a lot of music and a lot of art. I was actually born in Paris and I came here when I was 4, so, but I lived like downtown Paris, which is like super like artsy and stuff like that, so like and I went to kindergarten there and whatnot, but it was early, and you know, I always went to festivals too, you know, since my father that worked in music, so I was just at a young age just going to the Jazz Fest and Franco Folies, and you know, just kind of going to crazy festival shows and all at a young age. So I kind of it just kind of always been in my life, you know. There wasn't like a one day I was walking and I'm like, oh wow, like. You know, I was just in it.
So you grew up from the beginning. Music was a part of your life. But when did you discover that you had a talent for music then?
I was around 14 years old, and I had this long commute to go to school, like an hour long, and like come to go back home. It was like an hour and a half long because of freaking traffic in Montreal so bad around 3-4 o'clock, you know. And there was these two specific albums that I was listening to. It was Lupe Fiasco's album, The Cool, and Nas's album, Stillmatic, not to be misconstrued with Illmatic. Stillmatic is the one that came out, I think, in 2001 or two. And those two albums, I was like hip-hop, but those are two like more introspective albums that I was listening to compared to like the Eminem stuff or the 50 Cent stuff or the Kanye stuff that was really big at that time, mm-hmm. you know, but their hits were kind of like more popish and like pop rap kind of thing, like big hits. So like these two albums were more like introspective and a lot of lyricism and in-depth, you know, just music in general. And that kind of...
Less about the party, more about the thought.
Yeah. Definitely. It's very just super introspective, you know, and that got me, I'm like, wow, like I really dig this. And I just started writing when I was like 14, and I kind of like paused, but I always freestyled when I was young too. So it started around then, but it's really around 18, 19 when I had put out a couple songs already. I got this offer to like do a couple shows in France. And like since that offer, and like I went on that trip after, but like since then, like as soon as I got the offer, like I was taking night classes at McGill, and like I literally just stopped. I'm like, yo, like I'm gonna do this full pin. So it was around that time, 18, 19.
That, okay, so you got a record deal from a company in France?
No, I just there was so I had a manager at that time that had just gotten a manager, because like I was doing like singles and stuff like that, and like really early I had it in like a little mixtape when those were in, you know. Yeah. And he kind of connected me with someone that had a festival in France called Tartine Festival in Chambéry, which is like at the foot of the Alps actually in France. And like I got like, so we were able to put like, like I went there, I did a show there, but in that city, like they also hooked me up. Like I did another show in front of like this youth center with kids and stuff, and like, you know, and I had like a little gig in Paris as well. So, and like something else too. So like four things, and like, yeah. So that's how it all started.
So you kind of went back to where you started, where you were born.
Yeah, that's kind of ironic.
And if you look at your music when you were 14, and you look at your music later on when you're 18 and you were writing, and because you like this the style that was a little bit more introspective, a little bit more deep in thought, how do you find you've evolved in terms of the context of your music, in terms of the mindfulness of what's happening in the lyrics?
I just think that I've just gotten better because, you know, my music will keep evolving and my music has evolved. And I just think, like, that's the whole point.
Would you say it has evolved more lyrically or more in its musicality?
Everything. Even, like, this EP, I think, has evolved from my first EP lyrically, musically, in the structures, you know, and the sounds and stuff like that. And because I see music as a whole, you know. To me, it's an art, you know. It's a form, you know. It not only is it your music, but it's also the visual world that comes with the music, you know. Your videos, who's directing your videos, your photographer, like what world, you know, like that. All those things, you know, those colors, those vibes have to correlate with the sounds and the breaks in the music and the lyrics, you know. It's a whole, you know. It's kind of. It's a being. It's one big thing, and I try to always kind of get better at that, you know. Yeah.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, you are listening to Soul Perspectives. We have LTs on the line with us. He's a local artist, originally born in Paris, France, but has made Montreal his home. We're going to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Walking in no direction, seeking for affection, while others seek perfection through a lens that seems neglected. I forgot to pay attention, never listened to lessons. Now I'm stuck in second guessing and everybody's stressing. Cause I haven't seen them in a while. That's why I never really smile. My head is stuck up in the clouds and I don't feel like coming down. Frozen hearted all alone. Lately I don't feel at home. The shadows always follow me and everywhere I choose to go. Welcome to my train of thought. There's something that you need to know. And lately I've been seeing. She got me feeling delusional. She crazy but she beautiful. Relationship is complicated and itself is devastated. I don't think I'll ever make it out of here alive. They told me to never cry. They hold my feelings inside. The reasons I'm getting high.
You can never feel my pain. See, you can never feel my pain. Never feel my pain. Never feel my pain. So you can never feel my pain. See, you can never feel my pain. Never feel my pain. Never feel my pain.
The more I go, the harder it gets. We moving mountains. As hard as they get, but who was counting the rose petals that fell on the floor that no one wanted? I picked them all up and then I made it into something. Never needed your assumptions, never asked you for nothing. But lately I've been on my own, walking through the mountain in the snow. My heart is frozen cold, feelings that only you can know. Believe me that I know them well. Promised my demons to show and tell, but no one ever noticed that my life was out of focus. So they took the picture anyway. The rain washed all my tears away. I'm numb with nothing left to say. Waiting for them better days. It's always more or less the same. Cause you will never feel my pain.
Cause you can never feel my pain. See, you can never feel my pain.
In a final chapter, I can see it in their faces that they don't got the answer. My life started to desolate with senses that I can't escape. Assuming that you could relate, or we can leave it up to fate. I'm just really hoping that you can see that I opened up my heart for you. Truthfully, so let's have a conversation, just you and me. Yeah, she looked into my eyes so painfully.
Here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and I'm in the building with
Renee Jordan.
And online, we have LT's, a local Montreal artist who is a hip hop, jazz musician, singer, songwriter, and has recently released a new album back in September, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that project. Then. How did that come together?
So the project is called The Index to My Inner Thoughts, and it's kind of a reflection of certain emotions, desires, and concepts and ideas that, you know, I have on a daily basis, and just, you know, things that I think about. And I got to put this this EP together when I was touring off my first EP. I kind of traveled in Japan a bit. I played in Tokyo and Korea as well, in Seoul. I played a couple of times in France and in Paris, and also happened to go to Portugal. So, but I was always coming back to Montreal between those times, right? Like, it wasn't like a huge, like, 2 month tour on the road all type of thing. So, you know, going to these different places and seeing different things, you know, touching different textures and eating different foods kind of just opened my mind and gave me a new train of thought. So when I would come back to Montreal, you know, I would live this thing, you know, and also like it was a lot of showcases, right? So it's a lot of, you meet a lot of other up and coming artists and artists from there, you know. So you're kind of bathing that. You're not really going to the touristy things, you know. You're kind of just in the artistical environment over there. So that really kind of helped with conceptualizing this whole project. So when I was coming back to Montreal, I kind of wrote everything out, and you know, I wrote to the music, and you know, this is what came out in the Index of Minor Thoughts. Yeah.
And you had one of your singles, you released a music video to it. And I got to say, I as a filmmaker and a lover of music, I found it really, really beautiful and intriguing, because it really wasn't, it's not your typical music video at all. The content is typical. You're talking about love. You're talking about, you know, this woman that you're attracted to in some way. I don't recall if like it was a breakup situation or something like that, but the quality of the video and the way that it was shot and the stylization, I was really interested in, like, why you or your director or the editor decided to go in that direction.
So we're talking about questions, right? Just that one. I wasn't really talking about necessarily a significant other or a girl per se. It was just kind of more questioning the state of kind of everything, you know, just and behind that concept of questions, I think that the best way to introduce yourself to someone is through your questions, right? Because your questions kind of represent your values and who you are. You know, like, you're going to question certain things because you are a certain way.
Right.
So, and kind of, so we had this, like, very melancholic jazz sample and the beautiful trumpet that my friend Jérôme Dupuis-Cloutier, that I work closely with, did a beautiful job over that trumpet. And there's not really a hook, and it's kind of like a pure intro. And I thought that it would be really cool to kind of have this really glitchy but jazzy and like bluish kind of video, you know, and kind of like not understanding the blurs and seeing different perspectives, you know, from my perspective to another person's perspective to a girl's perspective, and kind of that, like, you know, and everybody's walking, and like that's when you question yourself the most, you know, kind of like when you're just walking. So, but we all have that in common, you know, like we all ask ourselves questions, and kind of like you are your questions. So I thought that the best way to introduce people to my inner thoughts would be through my questions and everyone's questions, because, you know, that's kind of what relates us in some ways, that, you know, we all question certain things.
What kind of things did you question in the song?
So I have a bar. I'm like, what do I say? I'm like, she's always online. She hates being alone. You know, stuff like that. Also,
so questioning people's actions and why they do what
actions. And just kind
why
of like
on social media and.
Yeah. And kind of like what that represents, you know, like, I worked a long time in the nightlife, and then you also have a bar. I'm like, oh, you think you're the man because you got like bottles and like I say blow in the song, you know. So because I see that all the time, you know, with a cup of Veuve Clicquot that come with the hose, you know. I question that, you know, like I see it all the, like, you know, I was busting tables at the biggest clubs in Montreal, and just, you know, shout out to them though, because, you know, like I respect that, but at the same time, you know, I was never going to be like these guys that are spending $10,000 like every weekend at these tables, you know, and just, and kind of like, you know, sometimes the girls that are there, they don't even like look at you, you know what I mean? And it's crazy, you know, like, what, you're better than me or something? And like, oh, you picked this glass up or some shit, you know, like, you need more cranberry juice, and he's being mad disrespectful. Oh, you stepped on my shoe. So like, you know, there's a bit of that in there. And also like questioning just, you know, dark thoughts that we have, you know, and just kind of just with reflections, you know, kind of questioning reflections that I have on like daily aspects of our lives, basically.
So when you say dark thoughts, what can you get a little bit more specific about that? Like, are we talking about like mental health issues and things like that?
Well, kind of. Okay, dark thoughts. Yeah, it's maybe not the best word, but kind of just like your self-reflections, you know? So, but it could be dark for someone. You know, my dark is a different dark for someone else. You know what I mean?
Right.
So dark, maybe when I say dark, I mean deep. You know, not necessarily dark in a negative way, just kind of like dark because it's deep and bleak and just some, you know, just, you know, the classic thoughts of existence.
Yeah.
Like what happens when we die, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like those philosophical reflecting thoughts that one may have that differs from person to person, you know, but in this song Questions, I kind of bring you through those dark and bleak and maybe, you know, not understandable thoughts that you may have, you know, that we all have.
Right.
So, but these, you know, we all have different thoughts, but these happen to be mine.
Okay. Renee?
No, I'm trying to think because you mentioned that you were, a positive guy, so I was like, okay, positive guy, dark thoughts. But then your dark thoughts weren't really necessarily dark. They're just sort of life thoughts that might lead other people down a dark path, but not for you.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of deciphering your own things so you understand yourself better or you understand certain situations better. You know, like an example, like I have some close friends that support Trump, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, I have a family member that's, you know, somewhere down in my line in my family that supports Trump. I'm against Trump. I think he's racist. I think he's a sexist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're not just supporting Trump for, like, the clout, like a lot of people are nowadays, just posting stuff and, like, have no idea. But some people truly, you know, some people just want to vote for, like, the Republican Party because they're conservative at heart and that's their beliefs. They don't believe in a liberal and democratic political system. Yeah. So why would you vote that something that's completely against your political beliefs? You want tax breaks. You don't want more of your money going into welfare, into social benefits and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So from there, you know, you should hate every racist and sexist person. You know, but does that make every person that votes for Trump a sexist and racist person? It doesn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's because he's in a party that reflects a lot of people's views, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and like, but I had to decipher that myself, you know?
Right.
Like, these are things that I think about, you know?
Right.
And that I kind of come to that conclusion, you know? I'm like, well, listen, like, this is what he, you know, like, he backed up what he said with reason and it made sense. You know what I mean? It's not just someone like, you, like, peep this link that I found on Facebook that's like zero credibility, you know, with a bunch of, like, advertisements around it and say that, like, you know, the Democrats are pedophiles and Pizzagate and all that stuff, you know, like, but someone that legit kind of, like, you know, so it's just thoughts like that, you know,
so
kind
someone,
of just
someone who
putting
breaks
things
it,
together.
Who breaks it down in a logical way and says, like, look, these are my core values. And the Republican Party matches up with my core values and as we say in French, veux pas, Trump is the leader of the representative of the Republican Party right now.
Yeah.
And my values line up with that, and so that's why they're voting for him. So it doesn't
necessarily
mean that the person is racist or sexist or against or is like this pro all lives matter and against Black Lives Matter. It's that
their
core values,
you know,
and what they want the government to reflect for them.
Exactly.
Interesting. It's interesting that you're having those thoughts and those conversations because I think that COVID-19 and the quarantine has forced people to kind of start looking at themselves and looking at other folks, because it's really hard to constantly be yelling at people and telling them that they're racist. And now that you're in this isolation, like it forces you to use your brain even more, I find.
Exactly.
I just find that like I got onto TikTok and there's a lot of social justice folks there, and they're kind of opening up my mind, and like sometimes when people follow me on TikTok and I go on their page just to see who they are, and I'll see mm-hmm. Trump 2020, but then when I look at their videos or whatever, their videos aren't racist, they're not like they're wholesome, for want of a better word. So okay, it's like this dynamic of like, you support Trump. Trump is super racist and sexist, and he's not even like trying to cover it. But you seem like a decent human being at the same time. It's like everybody.
I don't know how we got into the politics, but somehow I feel as though that even if the party is representative of certain views and values, if you have the same leader who's heading the party who takes care of none of those things in the political or democratic way, just seems to be running a bit of a show, then I don't really see how voting him in for another term is going to get any sort of continuation.
So you see, you just had a thought, and that's a deep thought. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at with it. When it came to this song and this EP in general, you know, it's kind of questioning everything, right? So I question something, you just question what we said, and you know, just you see what I'm saying? It opens up the dialogue and the discussion for in-depth things. And when you are thinking and you are surrounded by in-depth conversations and just in-depth subjects, that will bring out in-depth music, which that's what I'm trying to make. So you know, that's kind of, this is great and a perfect example, you know, like, so I would probably write something about a conversation we just had, you know what I mean?
But to respond to that, just because Donald Trump is like super racist and sexist and he's doing all of this stuff doesn't mean that the policies that the Republican Party represents aren't going through. So if I was a Republican and I wanted to have tax breaks and I wanted to have, you know, just name out the top five things that Donald Trump's party is going to do, just because he's, you know, being a clown, an orange clown.
Or, you know what? Maybe he's working some distractions.
It could be, but like the things that his party says that they're going to do are there. So some people are willing to be like, yeah, he may be a fool, but that's not what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in
the facade.
I'm interested in what are the policies. And I think that that's where a lot of people have contention. It's because people are voting for policy and some people are voting for against the face of the Republican group. So it's like, what
it's still Trump out though all day, but I don't hate you if you vote for him, you know what I mean? Like but that's just what I believe, you know, and that's kind of like, so, but that's what democracy is all about, is to have people that have different opinions about different stuff, you know. Like if we didn't have people to vote for Trump, then we wouldn't really have a democracy if everybody voted liberal and just that was it, you know what I mean? So it's important to, you know, but also it's a gray area too, you know, because you have extremes on both sides and, you know, both do messed up stuff sometimes. So it's kind of a tricky game.
Not to keep harping on the politics, but like, even if we look at Hillary Clinton and people were really like pushing for her, but if you look at her historically and the things that she supported, prison, she called black folks super predators, you know. There is so much problematic stuff going on with her, and she's in the so-called right party to vote for. So it's like, are you voting for policy or you're voting for a person? So it's that balance that we have to start figuring out, and like people need to start looking a little bit deeper under the surface as well.
At the end of the day, politics are going to politic, and, you know, that's why we got to keep making music and raising awareness and bringing and bringing different vibes to the ground, you know? Yep. Like, I loved all the music that came out about Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. And some really good stuff comes out, you know? If you look at Marvin Gaye's catalog, you know, his best stuff is revolutionary stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, with politics comes music, you know, with how the world is. Like, I absolutely love Marvin Gaye's What's Going On and, you know, Mercy and all of those songs, you know? So,
yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to LT's, a local Montreal artist who is a fusion hip-hop jazz singer, songwriter, musician. We are going to go to a quick break and we'll come right back. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Never really satisfied, I feel stagnant, whole body paralyzed. Kept looking, but couldn't find a paradigm. But don't worry, homie, I'll be doing fine. This shit is introspective, facts. But lately I feel neglected. Maybe I'm just tripping on visions on my perceptions. Okay. I chose to write rhymes instead of choosing electives. Word. But you see, now that was my choice. Chose to do me so I could use my voice. Spread some love so I could speak my mind. Hold on, let's do this one more time for your mind, word up, two more times for your soul, they know, one more time for your mind, word up, two more times for your soul, they know, I just wanna chill, kick back and just
smoke my weed,
with some real good friends on the pillow, that's all I need, with the music real loud, like we trying to
stay alive.
When that bass kicks in, like, do you feel that vibe? Blurry, oh, we all in a hurry. I hear the birds chirping, but it's only 6:30. The night passes by, but the streets are still dirty. In a concrete jungle where you won't find mercy. Won't find no love, just a whole lot of worries. And my heart made of stone, so no, you can't hurt me. Walking through the valley of death, oh, what a journey. Here to see the sunrise, but got hit too early. No reflection in the pond, cause the water too murky. Complicated complex, trying to build a concept. These words are all I got, so don't take them out of context. Like, how do you define the times? You're running out of time. When they ask you how you doing, and you say you're doing fine. But they're looking to your why, and they know that it's a lie. But they never ever truly know how you feeling inside. So I tell them, turn the music up so I can feel alive.
I just want to know.
We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And on the line, we have LT's, local jazz, hip-hop musician, singer-songwriter, international touring artist, and just released a new single called Questions. You can check out that video on YouTube. It also has an EP, I believe. Because I always get confused between EP and LP.
So EP is just a cut down album. Yeah. I think so, like, EP is a way that artists, exactly. And it's like, you know, it's not an album, you know, so you're not putting, I mean, you're putting stuff into it, but you're not putting as much work, I imagine, that you maybe put in for an album.
Right. And before the break, you spoke a little bit about some of the work that you draw inspiration from, especially Marvin Gaye, his song Mercy, and What's Going On. And yeah, since you were on that vein, wanted to ask you, who are your musical inspirations? Like, who do you look to as your guides, so to speak?
So yeah, definitely, absolutely love Marvin Gaye. I really like his song, I Want You To. That's so I actually have a playlist on my Spotify.
Okay.
That I created of all of the songs that I was really listening to during the creation. And I'll give you some names from there, but I mean, like, my base of music inspiration is, you know, I want to say Jimi Hendrix, absolutely love. And when I mean, like, bass, these are just artists that music that come get me in another place, because I've lived with that music for so long and stuff, yeah, like that too. So, you know, off the top of my head, Jay-Z, Jimi Hendrix, definitely put Marvin Gaye in there. At a point, Eminem, you know, like, now I'm not a super fan of his new stuff, but, you know, to say that he wasn't a huge influence on me growing up, and, you know, his earlier work to me are masterpieces. So, you know, yeah, definitely throwing M in there.
Miles Davis, the diversity for sure. of your choices. So you have Jay-Z, yeah, hip hop icon, Marvin Gaye, R&B, Jimi, yeah, Hendrix, rock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got Miles Davis in there too, for sure.
So you got that jazz in there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, his album Kind of Blue, what I was listening to in CJEP, and that kind of just the album that, you know, I always have liked the music, you know, mm-hmm, but that specific album Kind of Blue, and, you know, a lot of beginner jazz people will tell you that too, like, that's the go-to famous album, you know. Like, just, man, those riffs on there are just freaking classic. So that specific album just kind of, like, launched me into, like, this musical universe of understanding musically different, you know, coming from being a hip-hop head and just listening to R&B and hip-hop and, like, pop music on the radio. You know, the structure of jazz is different. It's free. It's you know, like, liberating, you know, because, you know, nevertheless, you know, the hip-hop that's on radio, you know, there's some abstract hip-hop that, you know, in arrangements are different. But, you know, the stuff that people push is structurally is the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you start appreciating, you know, there's other music that's like that, you know, some electronic and classic, but specifically, you know, those kind of music lack the soul aspect of things, I find. But not all electronic music, because house music is, you know, all about the soul. But definitely the jazz, man, and it kind of, and at that age, that's when I started kind of switching over to more making a jazz-oriented hip-hop. And, like, so, you know, listening to Miles kind of just opened me up to, you know, I know quite a few jazzmans now, you know, yeah, like, I know my trumpet player and my more the old guys, you know. I'm not too up with what's new in jazz. I am, though, but, like, I was listening to Dinner Party the other day from Robert Glasper and Kamizu and Terrence Martin. So yeah, definitely jazz has a huge play, and, you know, all of those artists blending in, you know. I have a song called Pain off the EP, which, like, has a crazy guitar solo at the end, you know, so kind of like that Jimi Hendrix influence comes in there.
Yeah.
And you know, and I love to arrange my music, you know. I like to have a lot of sections, like, things coming in, coming out, you know. So, and that also comes from listening.
So you actually write the notes that go behind the music that you're playing, or not really?
Not really, no. Well, I mean, I kind of work with producers closely, mm-hmm, and I'm there for the production of kind of everything, you know. Like, we'll listen to a couple songs that inspire me in the moment and kind of go off that vibe. So that's kind of how we work.
Yeah.
Mm. So you mentioned that some artists, they sort of get into a structure, and, like, so usually when you hear them or you listen to a song from them, like, if you hear a Drake song come on the radio, you automatically know that it's Drake. If you hear something from like Chris Brown, you know, they all have like a typical flow that goes with their music. Wow. Would you say that your music is not as predictable because your musical tastes are so varied?
No, because I don't think so. Because when I mean free, mm-hmm. I mean like non-structured music, like free jazz, because I make hip hop. So no matter what, there's going to be a type of structure in there, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a type of 16s, right? Maybe it'll be 12 bar and a pre-hook and then a hook. Which that's
the style of your music. Will it be like, okay, well, yes, that's the LTs. That's the LTs. Or are for you sure. for artists that it's like, oh, I didn't know that he could do that style. Or I didn't know. It's like, let me come up with something a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely trying to head there, you know. Like, that's the goal, you know. But sometimes, you know, it's hard sometimes, you know, to venture out on different sounds. So mm-hmm. Before I start, like, going crazy and having super, like, left-sided albums, I'm kind of concentrating on developing a certain sound that is out of the water and original to myself. So to answer your question, yes and no, you know? kind
of, yeah. My question to though, is what made you decide to fuse hip-hop and jazz together? Because to my recollection, there are not very many artists that have done that. There's been a fusion, a big fusion of hip-hop and R&B. I would say Drake had been the kind of almost the pioneer of that, because he was the one who really started singing on...
Well, 50 was... 50 was doing it, man.
I can't say it was Drake.
I didn't say that Drake started it, but he was a pioneer.
But he made it mainstream.
Yeah, in that, like 50 it really never got popular Drake around the time when Drake started hitting the airwaves, because he was singing more on his tracks and doing rap at the same time. Like, uh-huh. I find that 50 Cent was more like, his rap was a little bit slower and more groovy.
That's true.
But he was still rapping. He wasn't singing.
Yeah, Drake's really singing on his hooks and rapping in his verses. So that's a big versatility there. Yeah.
Nelly may
yeah.
not have been as serious, but he was singing.
Nelly too. Nelly's serious, man. Nelly's serious.
So yeah, so my question remains, what made you decide to fuse jazz and hip hop together?
I think it just came naturally because, so... jazz is like kind of like the father of like all popular music, like R&B, everything, rock, you know. So, and I think, and hip hop is just so blendable with everything, right? So I think, and it's a straight up direct, like, so what's crazy is that, like, so like the hip hop culture today kind of like determines what's cool in the world, right? Like, the coolness of everything passes through hip hop, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with jazz at the time. Like, you know, white people wanted to go on 52nd Street and like, hey, you see those cats tooting their horns? Like jazz was the cool thing, you know? Like it was the cool, you know, it was the cool. Same thing as hip hop. And, you know, both African American music that started from the streets, both of them, you know. And also both of them also kind of like were put against the wall at the beginning, you know, when kind of free jazz and bebop came out, people were like, what is this, you know, jungle music, you know? And it sounded like jungle music too, but they just couldn't catch it, you know. Same thing with hip-hop when, you know, that first came out, like, what is this garbage and all that stuff. So, you know, there's just, so historically they're the same, right? So, and I love everything that's jazz, a lot of jazz and neo soul too, and that kind of realm of music, you know, the D'Angelos of the world. So it's not pure jazz. It's just kind of like, I love music with like blue chords in them, you know, we kind
what's,
of like,
what's on a the, blue chord?
So like a blue chord is like, a blue chord, I would like to say, is a kind of a chord that you strike that wouldn't be kind of like what you would think, right? Like you would be playing the chords and then normally you would think, oh, this is the next note, logically, right? But you hit kind of like something else that's kind of has more of a, like a blue feeling.
Right.
There's a specific place on the chart where you hit it. I wouldn't be able to tell you in the specific notes and chords that are blue notes and blue chords. I do not know them, but I do know the sound and that's what triggers my ears. Okay. And really
so when you say blues, blue, is it like, is it just a specific note, or does it correlate to like blues music?
So no, it's, I mean, it, yeah, it correlates to blues music, but also all music, right?
Okay.
I'm actually taking singing classes and piano classes, and there's actually a whole chart of color and notes and music, actually. Wow. There's like orange and red, so you can even like look that up, like a color and music and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and like they all have notes, you know, like certain colors are these notes and like these chords and stuff like that. So yeah,
well, that's interesting because I remember our former DJ Sirius used to talk to us about music, and he used to say that there are certain people who can see colors in music. So they see the frequency of colors in music. He said famously, oh my God, what is his name? Pharrell Williams is somebody mm-hmm. that sees the musical notes and frequencies and colors. So mm-hmm. that's interesting that there's an actual chart of colors that go yes. along with the musical notes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send it to you. Like yeah. my teacher, like that's one of the first things that my vocal teacher actually sent me. She's like, "Oh well, if you're so into music, you should check this out, Music in Colors." Yeah.
And would you say that when you're building your tracks, like you have an intention of how you want the music to hit someone in terms of like the emotional response that you'd like them to have towards it?
That's all I really think music is literally that, right? So even like in your words, right? So like when I read poetry sometimes, that stuff doesn't even make sense sometimes, right? It's like, what am I reading? Like these words are not even making sense, like in literal terms, you know? But it did make me feel something reading that, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that's what music should be, right? Like that's why I'm not, you know, I do make jazz, hip hop, but I'm not against trap and one of these stuck up people that think, you know, music that has less chords and stuff is not it. That music makes me feel a specific feeling, you know, when I listen to it, and that's what music is about. So to answer your question, yes, 1,000,000%, you know, like I do that so much, even like the music to me needs to be made before I write to it, because the music is going to make me feel a certain way. I'm going to get the theme of the song, I'm going to get the words of the song through me listening to the music that I created, you know. So, you know, in retrospect, I do go in, I'm like, you know, I'm aiming to give this feeling, so let's work towards this way. So yes.
So you like to work from the beat to the music to the lyrics, or from the lyrics to the music to the beat?
Yeah, from the beat and the music, you know, I write my lyrics to the music. Yeah.
Okay.
And do you find interesting? Have you ever done it the other way around? Where
no,
you compose?
I haven't.
so what would be the challenge in that? Wouldn't that be something interesting to try and do?
I don't think it would be. I mean, yes, because I would not. I don't, because I was gonna write poetry at that point. You know, like okay. I'll write a poem. You know,
right.
Yeah.
I'll write like a 2-page poem of beautiful words, you know, if there's no, you know, it's because
I think sometimes it doesn't fit. Like if you write the words before, sometimes mm-hmm. it doesn't fit.
Whereas you can make them fit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've done that. I've written poetry and people are like, yeah, I want to put that on a beat or on a hook or something. And then listening to the music, I'd have to modify the poem because I like to use certain words and I like to like use uh-huh. long words.
Yeah.
And words that have 4 or 5 syllables don't necessarily yeah. fit on a
no.
on an 8-bar. And it doesn't, or it doesn't rhyme, it doesn't flow properly. Mm. So
or it takes up the whole bar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do have to take a little break. If you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to LT's local Montreal hip-hop jazz musician, singer-songwriter, and we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
So, like, what are we really really doing? I mean, I don't understand. I don't really want to talk to him, but I do, you know?
That I can do better. Had a start that we were forever. Taken by storm, then I lost her in the cold weather. But she's in my heart regardless. We seeking for the light, but mostly only find the darkness. Emotions on my sleeve, just to show you I ain't heartless. We could've bloomed together like these flowers in the garden. But I already told you I ain't writing no more love letters. I guess my pen is running out of ink. My love is something that you can't measure. So go on, tell me what you really think. We could talk about anything. Let's stimulate the moment. Focus on what's important. Like this lust is hella potent. Got me filling up these pages and writing past the margin. I'm going through these phases while my speakers bumping Marvin. They ask me why I'm sensitive. I tell them I'm an artist. Take it how you want it, take it. I'm just being honest. The first time I wrote to her, she never write back. Wrote her a second letter, ask her why she's being like that. Said that she falling in love. It's plain she had to fight that because of prior history and shit she couldn't take back. Asked me for a favor, not to write her again. He said we couldn't be lovers, she'd just rather be friends. Forever taken by storm, then I lost her in the cold weather. But she's in my heart regardless. We're seeking for the light, but mostly only find the darkness. Emotions on my sleeve.